So we're entering a period of fantastic change, which is getting faster all the time. And we have two challenges here. Two challenges, one after the other. The first is to open our minds, start taking responsibility back, and remove this edifice of control and suppression of information, which will allow the full flow of knowledge of who we are to flood into the public arena. Once people get access to that information and start to realize who they really are and the nature of life, then we can go into stage two, which is the incredible consciousness shift that is going to happen and is happening for many people already, but can happen for everybody if we open up to the knowledge of what's going on. And to do that, the edifice of suppression has to go. And what I see so often in the kind of what we call the New Age movement is they're focusing on the second bit and they're in denial about the first. And the second is not going to happen for many people unless we remove the edifice of suppression, because most people are going to think, what the heck's going on? They're going to go through this great change in a complete fog of what's happening. Tremendous fear. Oh my goodness me, what's happening? So there's two things to do here. One is to start focusing on how the world's controlled, identifying it, removing it. Secondly, then we can concentrate unhindered on the transformation spiritually that is unfolding to the year 2012 and beyond. One area, too, key area, because I mentioned the Gregorian calendar, that has been used to control us and de-link us from who we really are, is the manipulation of time. This planet works on moon time, 13 moon years. That's the sequence of time that we work on. Naturally, that's what nature is connected to. That's what the woman's menstrual cycle is connected to. But we're not connected to that. We're connected to this, time, as measured artificially. As a result, we have become de-linked from the natural flow of time. We've become de-linked from the cosmos. This is why native people who don't work with these things, who aren't slaves to the watch and the clock, are much more in tune with nature, because they're resonating in the same time flow as nature. And where is time measured from on this planet? Greenwich, London, in the heart of the manipulation of the Brotherhood at operational level for so long, right to the present day. No accident. So we have a situation where the idea has been to turn us into left brain prisoners. Even conventional science accepts that the left brain is where we get intellect, logic, physical worldview. Can I touch it, taste it, smell it? Okay, it must exist. In the right brain, you have the bigger picture, the connection with the cosmos. That's where the artist, the inspiration, the creativity comes from. And if you look at the institutions of education, of science, and all these different areas of information, the media too, they're pumping information of a left brain variety and suppressing this. So you get a situation where what we call education works like this. Information is pumped into the left brain, most of it completely rubbish. And what people are asked to do, students are asked to do, is to hold that information there, and then when they get an exam paper in front of them, to regurgitate that onto the paper. If they remember it and put it there well enough and repeat what they've been told, they pass the exam and progress. If they take that information in the left brain, transfer it to the right and start filtering it and questioning it, and saying, well, does it make sense? What do I think about this? And then tell the exam paper, oh, actually, it's a piece of shit, this stuff. Then they don't pass the exam. And they don't progress. The education system is completely built to create left-brain prisoners who are basically sponges of the official version of life. And if you're a scientist, for instance, you go through that, and then you go to your speciality in science, and you get more left-brain information. Same with doctors and all these professions. They're left-brain prisoners who cannot conceive so much of what I've been talking about here, because they're imprisoned in the intellect. We can just balance those two sides of the brain, the intellect and the spirit, the mind and the heart, then suddenly we are transformed in terms of our perception of ourselves. Well, this is a symbol that kind of encapsulates, I think, how we are disconnected from who we really are. And the process that so many people are going through now to remove that division so we can reconnect. What you're looking at there symbolically is the, I call it lower vibrational emotional range. It's the range of frequency that resonates the energy within us to fear, to guilt, to resentment, to lack of self-esteem. And the more that we are manipulated to feel those things, and the more we manipulate each other to feel those things, the more what I call that cesspit vibration of low vibrational emotion gets more and more full and more difficult to get through, and therefore out to the multidimensional state that we can get into as we reconnect with the ocean, with the cosmos. And this is why when people start on this spiritual journey, my goodness me, I was there myself, over the last 10 years or so, the reason that they start to realize when they start to walk the journey that all hell breaks loose in their life, that structures break down in their life and they think, crikey, if this is spiritual. I remember me, when I started on this route, my life broke down in so many ways. I thought, if this is spirituality, you can stuff it. I don't want to know. But why is this happening? Why does this happen to people? Because, as I mentioned earlier, when you put out your intent, this is what I want to achieve, that intent energy will always draw towards us what we need to achieve that intent. So if we're going to reconnect with the cosmos, if we say I want to be who I really am and connect with all that exists, then that intent will draw to us the experiences necessary to achieve that, all the time, every time. And what we need to do to achieve that connection is to clear out that cesspit level of low vibrational emotion. All those things within us which we've gone into denial about, like, oh, just change the subject, mate, don't want to talk about it. And so we draw into our lives people, experiences, what have you, that make sure that we can no longer do that, that this has to come out and be processed, and we have to clean out all this emotional debris that's disconnecting us from who we really are. And so if we're prepared to walk this journey, if we don't at that stage when the challenges come go, oh no, like spirituality but not that badly, thank you very much. If we're prepared to take those challenges, to take a step back and realize that it's actually an experience that is going to set us free rather than a really negative bad thing that is something to do with the fact that we're not good people. Must have been something terrible in a previous life. I hear that all the time. These connections or these challenges are to help set us free by cleaning this out. It's important we understand that. And I find that there are so many people in what's called the New Age or into the psychic stuff and all the rest of it who are still operating on a fraction of who they are because they're not prepared to do what is necessary and take the challenges to face what's within us. And we all have this stuff within us to remove and process. And when you do, that's when you can start talking about freedom. And it's coming back, as we come to a close here, to the same thing again and again, the way to freedom. And that is to step out of the fear what other people think of us and just do it, just do it, just do it. People say to me sometimes, how do I get over the fear of what people think? How do I get over the fear of what people think of me? What I would suggest is let the fear be the trigger to overcome it. So if you're in a situation where you're thinking, oh, well, I'd love to say this, but what will they think? Just say it. Just say it. If the people around you cannot respect your right to be you, then what are you worried about? What they think of you for? And if you're in a situation where I'd love to do this, this is what I like to do, but what will they think? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And when you get into that just do it mode, just do it mode, just do it mode, some very interesting things start to happen. First of all, you're following your intuition, your heart, your connection with out there, and you're letting that be your guide. Just do it intuitively. And after a while, and I've seen this in my own life, although the head is screaming, oh my God, what are you doing? Eventually, you start to realize that when you follow your intuition, although it might set up great challenges to start with, and you think, oh my goodness, what have I done? Eventually, you see that everything was exactly what was necessary to bring about a positive outcome. And after a while of doing this, of just doing it, just doing it, just doing it, your mind, your head, starts to look at this, and it realizes that every time you follow your intuition, although it's a challenge, eventually everything works out tremendously well. And what happens then is the head and the heart come into sync. And what you think and what you feel become the same thing. And that's when we start to connect with who we really are and the true nature of our power to manifest our own destiny. Just do it. And I'll just finish with this one, which I think kind of sums up all that I've been saying in this particular area of the story. People talk about a soul and the fact that we have a soul. For me, what we call soul, the highest expression of ourselves, is pure love. I don't care who you are, what your background is, what you've done. I don't care if you're Henry Kissinger or George Bush or David Rockefeller or the Queen of England or any of these guys that have been manipulating the world and still are. At that level of yourself, you're pure love. Everyone is. But we can become disconnected from that level and manifest in that disconnection anything but pure love. But that's what we all are, all of us. And when we get disconnected, that's when the problems start and the imbalances start and the imbalanced behavior starts. When we're born into a physical body, if we maintain that connection with pure love, soul, then we have everything we need for a balanced life. We have the eyes and ears information coming in, telling us and giving us a fix about the world around us, and we have the connection with soul, the big picture, the intuition, mission control, which is guiding us from another perspective. We have both. Symbolically, it's like a spaceman on the moon, where you're in that big spacesuit, symbolic of the body, and you've got the eyes and ears information giving you a fix on what's happening on the moon around you. But you've also got mission control, the big picture, giving you the big picture guidance. This is what comes next, then do that. And this is what's next on the agenda. Symbolic of intuition. Imagine what would happen if someone came along and cut or dramatically reduced that spaceman's connection to mission control. Suddenly, this is the only information and the vague memory of what should have been happening at this time. They're the only fix we have on who we are and where we are. And that spaceman's behavior would dramatically change within seconds and minutes compared with what it would have been had mission control stayed in big picture contact. And that symbolically is what happens to us when we come into this world. When we're born, the conditioning starts. The programming starts to disconnect us from mission control, the big picture, soul. So the eggshells start. We start to be conditioned to see ourselves as either just a physical body or subjected to some God and what have you. The programming gets started from the moment we become conscious. A friend of mine once said something very true. If you're born to loving parents and they tell you that 2 and 2 equals 5, and then you go on to nice teachers and they tell you 2 and 2 equals 5, and then you go on to university and professors with letters after their name tell you 2 and 2 equals 5, all your peers around you are telling you the same because they've been through the same system. The media is telling you constantly 2 and 2 equals 5. It's no surprise that the vast majority of people go through their lives believing 2 and 2 equals 5. The conditioning. The conditioning of belief, which disconnects us from who we really are. And if we can just break that eggshell and we can express the true nature of who we are and not live someone else's version of what we should be, when the eggshell cracks, we reconnect with mission control. And at that point, we taste freedom. And that is the challenge now that we all have and the opportunity we all have. The Chinese have a word that means both danger and opportunity. We're at the point now of that choice. Because that's what life is. It's a choice and learning from the consequences of the choice and making different choices and learning from the consequences of them. That's what evolution is. And we're at a point now where we can make incredible leaps as this 26,000-year cycle comes to an end. The next 15 years are going to transform life on Earth. They're going to transform the nature of our perception. They're maybe going to transform some of the physical Earth also. One thing's for sure, it's going to be one heck of a challenge. But no matter how challenging it gets, One thing remains constant. We live forever. We are everything, and everything is us. Whatever we're experiencing in this moment, it's just an experience. We live forever. And if we can hold that focus of who we are, we get out of ordinary little man and woman in the street, I've got no power, to I am everything that exists and I can manifest and create whatever I want. We are genius. We've forgotten we're genius. And that's why a few people run the world. I'm going to end with some words by a singer in America who wrote new words to the American national anthem to get away from the nationalism. He called it the Earth Anthem. And the world that he describes here is the world that is just a thought away, just an open heart away, just a change of perception away. We can think hate, we can think love. We can create a world dominated by hate and fear, or we can create a world dominated by love, compassion. It's just a choice, and we all have the opportunity to do that. So I'll leave you with these words, with the emphasis that this is the world we can and will create. When we heal ourselves, we heal the world. When we change ourselves, we change the world. When we love ourselves, we love the world. And when we love the world, it manifests in a very different form to the one I've been talking about these hours over these thousands of years of manipulation. Freedom is upon us. Time to grasp it. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, say can we see by the one light in all our earth to embrace at the call of all nations, where our children can play in a world without war, where we stand hand in hand in the grace of creation, where the rivers run clean through the forests of green, where the cities stand tall in the clear skies of freedom. Oh, say do our hearts sing out for harmony and love forever on the planet of our birth, blessed with peace.